إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، then I begin by welcoming you brothers, and I am honored to be amongst your company here in the city of Medina in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia today, which is the 20th of March in the year 2016, in the common era, which coincides with the 11th of Jumad al-Thani in the year 1437 from the Hijrah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in your hotel room here. And it's a pleasure to see you again. Barakallahu feekum ikhwan. It's a pleasure to see you again, and I'm honored to be in your company. And we have with us, of course, our brother Abu Anas Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, who is your teacher, and he is well known to the mashayikh here in the city of Medina and elsewhere. So I'll use these moments, inshallah, just a few minutes, just to mention to you the importance of sticking to the jama'ah, knowing what is the jama'ah, and knowing that iftiraq and ikhtilaf is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids. So from the asal of this affair is that Allah jalla wa ala, he commands with unity, with ijtima'. This is an asal min usul ahli sunnati wal jama'ah. It's an asal, it is a fundamental in the religion that the Muslims, they are united, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَاَعْتَسِمُوا بِهَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and hold on all of you together to the rope of Allah, Hablullah. So all of us have been commanded to hold on together to the rope of Allah. Jami'an, meaning everybody. There is no exception in this. All the Muslims are commanded to hold on to that single habl or hablullah, the rope of Allah. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and do not divide, don't split. After you held on to the rope of Allah, because now your asl is one, and your foundation is one, and that is wahi, or the wahiyain. So the rope of Allah, as many of the mufassireen, and as Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, that it is the wahi, it is the revelation that was sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and wahi wahiyain. That the revelation is two revelations, revelation of the kitab and the revelation of the sunnah. So hold on to the revelation of the book and the sunnah. Once you've held on to that, don't divide, because you have no excuse now. You have no excuse to say, I divided because of this, or I split because of this. There's no excuse. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. And remember the bounty of Allah upon you when you were enemies one to another, and Allah brought you together. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا, and by the grace of Allah, you became brothers one to another. Meaning that before you were holding onto the rope of Allah, you wouldn't speak to each other, you wouldn't talk to each other. Your alaqa with each other was because of the tribe, or because of the family, or because of some other reason, dunya reason. But when the revelation came, the kitab and the sunnah came, then all of that leaves. That is now to one side. The thing that unites us, regardless of what our color is, what our background is, regardless of how big we are, how short we are, what our qabila is, which country we come from, the thing that we look at now, and this is stronger than the bond of blood, as Sheikh Al-Fawzan Hafidhullah said, that stronger than all of the ties is the tie of Al-Islam, is the connection of Al-Islam. So everything else becomes secondary. The thing that ties us together is the fact that we are upon the book of Allah and the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, when he said that the maqsood or the intent of the rope of Allah, he said it is the book of Allah, it is tawheed, it is the sunnah, it is the aqeedah, it is the jama'ah. This is what he said, and the jama'ah, he said, and they are the sahaba radiyallahu anhum. So the rope of Allah itches the Sahaba. Even Abdul Barr, rahimahullah, said in At-Tamheed that the rope of Allah, it is the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because they are the Jama'ah. So when Allah's messengers, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاَعْتَسِمُ بِهَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, hold on all of you together to the rope of Allah, meaning all of you hold on together to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And this is Islam, because what they were upon, it is Islam. If they believe as you believe, فَقَدْ اِحْتَدَوْا, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, if they believe, meaning those, all of mankind were to believe as you, Sahaba, believe, then they are guided. So it is the path of the Sahaba. They are the Jama'ah. And the Jama'ah is not just any group that comes together for any reason. The Jama'ah are those who follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Abdullah, and they are upon the haqq, of course. And that's why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Al-Jama'ah ma wafiq al-haqq walau kunta wahdak. That the Jama'ah is whatever is the truth, even if you are one person. The Jama'ah is not measured by numbers. My people, we are 20,000. My people, we are a million. This is not the measure of truth and falsehood, numbers. Because if the numbers were the measure of truth and falsehood, then everyone would follow the people of bid'ah, or even the people of shirk and kufr, because they have more numbers. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, سَتَفْتَرِكُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى 73 فِرْقَةٍ كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٍ وَهِيَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. He said that all, that this ummah of mine will divide, the ummatul ijaba, this is the Muslims, they will divide into 73 sects, كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ, all of those sects into the hellfire, except for one, وَهِيَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. In a narration he said, مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمَ أَصْحَابِي, that which I and my companions are upon. So when the ummah, it divides, the ones that are saved, they are one out of 73. It is not the majority, it is one group out of 73. Whether they are small in number, whether they are great in number, they are the Jama'ah. And the Jama'ah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, and when they asked him, وَمَا هِيَ تِلْكَ الْفِرْقَةِ, which is this one sect? He said, مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمُ أَصْحَابِي, that which I and my Sahaba are upon this day. In a narration, they are the Jama'ah. They are the Jama'ah. So this is the Jama'ah. Ishaq ibn Rahaway, rahimahullah, from the companions of Imam Ahmad, who died in the year 238, he said that when you ask the people, who are the As-Suwadul A'adham? This is, yani from the hadith of Allah's Messenger, this ummah will divide, and all of them into the hellfire except for one, and they are the main body. They said, who? They said to Ishaq bin Rahaway, he said, the people say, the people think, when you ask them about the main body, As-Suwadul A'adham, they say it is the majority. He said they do not know, because of their ignorance. They do not know. It is not the majority. He said, rather the Jama'ah, they are the ulama. They are the Jama'ah, the ulama. And those ulama, as he mentioned, who take from the kitab and the sunnah and they follow their salaf, the sahaba radiallahu anhum, they are the Jama'ah. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, he died in the year 181 after the hijrah, from the great a'imma of his era, within, you know, from the second generation. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, they asked him, Man il Jama'ah? Who is the Jama'ah? He said, Abu Bakr wa Umar. They said, Qad mat Abu Bakr wa Umar. Abu Bakr and Umar are dead. Because this is 181, so this is over 100 and, you know, something like 150, 160 years after the death of Abu Bakr and Umar. So they asked him, who is the Jama'ah? He said, Abu Bakr. He said, Abu Bakr and Umar are dead. The people said, they're dead. Who is the Jama'ah? He said, Al-Jama'ah Fulan wa Fulan. They said, Qad mat Fulan wa Fulan. But the other people that you, because then they asked him again, then they are dead, so who is it? So then he mentioned two other names. So when he mentioned the two other names, the people said, but they are dead as well, because the people want to know who is the Jama'ah now. So then he said, Al-Jama'ah Abu Hamza As-Sukkari. He is the Jama'ah. He mentioned one man. He is the Jama'ah. In reality, the point that Abdullah ibn Mubarak is making here is that the Jama'ah are the people who cling to the truth. Is it just Abu Bakr and Umar who are the Jama'ah? Of course not. It's Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and Aisha and Salama and Abu Huraira and Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Umar and Amr ibn al-As and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. They are, all of them are the Jama'ah. And it's Ibn Malik. They are all the Jama'ah. But when they asked Abdullah ibn Mubarak, Manil Jama'ah, who is the Jama'ah, who did you choose? The best of them. Abu Bakr and Umar. It doesn't mean that the rest aren't the Jama'ah. They are the Jama'ah also. But he's using examples as the figureheads of the Jama'ah. Who are the ones that you can look to and say they are upon the haq? Who did he choose? Abu Bakr and Umar. Because they are the best of mankind after the prophets and the messengers. The best of the people, as Abdullah ibn Abbas said, that we used to regard in whilst the Prophet ﷺ was alive and the Sahaba were plentiful in number. We used to say that the best of people is Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, then we were quiet. The Messenger of Allah used to hear this and he never criticized us. So the Prophet ﷺ, he knew. And he taught them that the best of people is Abu Bakr and Umar. And then after that, Uthman. And then of course Ali. And then the rest of the 10 who were Mubashirin bil Jannah, those who were given the glad tidings of Jannah. So they are the best of the companions of Abu Bakr. That's why Ibn Mubarak mentioned those two. Now there's a point I'm going to come to where you're going to understand this in a moment, inshallah. Then he asked, then they said Abu Bakr and Umar is dead. Who did he mention next? He didn't mention Abu Hurairah and Ibn Umar. Why? Because that era is done. Because that is the era represented by Abu Bakr and Umar. So that first Qarn al-Awwal, he's finished with it. Then he mentioned from the Tabi'een, from the greatest of the Tabi'een. So then he said, Fulan wa Fulan. So he mentioned some names, two people. And the people said, but they are dead also. Now the second generation is done. Then he said, therefore the Jama'ah, it is Abu Hamza al-Sukkari. Now he's mentioned from the third generation, his time, where he is living. Now Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Mubarak is talking about the people of his time. And he mentioned one man. Is it only one man? Of course not. Where's Malik? Why didn't he mention Malik? Why didn't he mention, Shu'bah? Why didn't he mention Sayyid ibn Musayyib? Sayyid ibn Musayyib is generation before. Why didn't he mention some of those people of that era? Sufyan and others. Sufyan died 20 years before him. Malik died a few years, 10 years or more before him, or 3 years before him. Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, who died before him. He didn't mention any of them. He mentioned one man, Abu Hamza al-Sukkari. This is not by way of restricting the Jama'ah just to Abu Hamza al-Sukkari al-Khurasani. This was the Shaykh of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. This was his own Shaykh. So he mentioned him because he knows that this man is a man of haq and a man of truth. It doesn't mean that the rest of them, Malik and Shu'bah and Sha'bi and Fulan, that they are not the Jama'ah. They are the Jama'ah also. But this man, he represents the Jama'ah. If you look at him, you see that he carries the haq. So he mentioned Abu Hamza al-Sukkari, just like he mentioned Abu Bakr and Umar, and he did not mention Abu Hurairah. Abu Hurairah is an imam, he's from the a'imma of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But he's not like Abu Bakr and Umar, of course. He's the greatest narrator of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he is not like Abu Bakr and Umar. Ibn Umar is from the greatest of the narrators of the hadith. Faqih, an imam of the sunnah, an imam of the Quran and hadith. But he is not like Abu Bakr and Umar. Right? Even though they are great, all of them. From the greatest of them, from the earliest of them, from the sabiqeen, all the way to the end, they are from the best of mankind. All of the Sahaba. Khairukum qarni. The best of you is my generation. Khairun nas qarni. The best of people is my generation. So all of the Sahaba are good. But Ibn Mubarak only mentioned two, Abu Bakr and Umar. Then he mentioned Fulan and Fulan. Then he mentioned Abu Hamza, al-Sukkari. Because the Jama'ah, barakallahu feekum, is known by those who carry the truth in the era. And then anyone who clings to them and follows their way, then they are also the Jama'ah. That's why when Abu Isa At-Tirmidhi, the great Imam and the Muhaddith and the scholar, the author and the collector of the Jami' of Imam At-Tirmidhi, sometimes known as the Sunan of Imam At-Tirmidhi, that he brought the hadith of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم على ذلك. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said that they will never cease to be a group from my ummah, على الحق, in a narration, على الحق منصورين, in a narration, ظاهرين على الحق. So these two narrations that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they are manifestly upon the truth, clear, like the sun in the sky. Zahirin. This is why when the people say, yeah, we ask some of the Ahlul Bid'ah, who are your scholars? They say, it is Fulan and Fulan. Where is he? They say, oh, he's sitting in somewhere in, I don't know, Mauritania. was sitting in India somewhere. I say, who is he? See, akhi, he's a big alim of the dunya. Every, you know, we know him. I say, who knows him? Because when they say, oh, but he's, you know, he's in hiding and he's this and he's that. Not many people. He's zahiri. Kayf zahirin al-haq, and no one knows you. All right. So the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, they are apparent and clear for the haq that they carry. That's why when you speak about the scholars of Salafiyyah, even Ahlul Bidah, they know them. Who doesn't know Sheikh bin Baz? From the, of course, those people who are upon istiqamah or multazimeen, those people who have some practice of the deen, even from Ahlul Bidah, those who do their ibadah and they make their, you know, whatever. You ask them about Sheikh bin Baz, everyone knows Sheikh bin Baz. Ask them about Ibn Taymiyyah, everyone knows Ibn Taymiyyah. Ask them Ibn Qayyim, they all know Ibn Qayyim. Ask them Ahmed ibn Hanbal, they all know Ahmed ibn... Ask them Bukhari, they all know Bukhari. Why? Because the ulama of sunnah are zahirin ala al-haq. Or ala al-haq mansurin. That they are upon the truth and Allah aids them. They are aided. Mansurin, that they are aided upon the truth. So, Abu Isa at-Tirmidhi, he said that they will never cease to be a group from my ummah manifestly upon the truth. They are not harmed by those who forsake them, betray them. Yani, today they are with you, tomorrow they're gone. They are the mukhaddilin. Right? They know that this man, he is upon the truth. But they won't support him upon the truth. They won't aid the people of truth. Rather, they are with you one day, soon as the difficulty begins, gone. Where is he? Where's Fulan? Yeah, he was here with us yesterday. Yeah, he's gone. He's gone to, you know, this Hizb or that Hizb or this Jam'iyyah or... He's gone. See, yeah, but he was with us yesterday and he was with us for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Yeah, he's left. Thus, he saw it was too much for him. Because when the fitna come, like the fitna of Daesh, ISIS, the fitna of, you know, some of the other groups that you have, the Ikhwan Muslimin, Jamaat al-Tabligh, they throw shubahat at him. Or they begin to attack Ahlul Sunnah, and he'd... And for him, I don't want to help the people of Sunnah. So they are not harmed by those who quit them, abandon them, and they forsake them. They betray them. We are not harmed, barakallahu feekum. Ahlul Sunnah, that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, they are not harmed by those who forsake them, nor by those who differ with them. So even if they come with the ikhtilafat, and they say, we are against you, we oppose you, and we differ with you. The haqq isn't harmed by the people who differ with it. They harm themselves. If a man is upon the haqq, following the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the people say, no, we are against you. How does that harm the people of truth? Ahlul haqq, they are not harmed by those who oppose them. Why? Because the haqq is what is the important thing for us. So we are not harmed. Ahlul sunnah is not harmed. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they will, and they will remain in that state up until there comes the command of Allah. Then the scholars, they differ. What does it mean? There comes the command of Allah. Is it the coming of the Mahdi? Is it the descent of Isa? Is it Yawmul Qiyamah? Is it when the Quran will be lifted in a single, you know, in a single moment? What does it mean when up until the command of Allah comes? Well, they differ, but it is very close to Yawmul Qiyamah or Yawmul Qiyamah. And they will still be upon that, meaning generation, thousands of years will go by, hundreds and hundreds of years will go by, generation after generation, and they will not change. وَهُمْ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ, they will remain as such. Abu Isa said, At-Tirmidhi, he said, هُمْ أَهْلُ الْعَثَرْ وَالْعِلْمِ, they are the people of narration and knowledge. Meaning that they are the scholars. They are the ones who will rise in every generation. So now when the people say today, يَا أَخِي, we don't know who the scholars are. Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam, who is upon the haqq? Say, يَا أَخِي, look at this hadith. لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق. Look at the hadith. Look what the hadith is. And the hadith is telling you they will never stop being a group. They will never cease to be a group. Manifestly upon the truth. How can you say, if you don't know, this is because of your jahl. If the people don't know who the people of truth are, it is because they themselves are ignorant and they didn't put the effort in to seek the truth. Just like when the Prophet ﷺ said that his ummah will divide into 73 sects, all of them into the hellfire except for one. Do you think the Prophet ﷺ was playing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth to play. The reason why all of this is there as a test, to see which of you, when the fitna comes, when the people come with their ideas, with the shubahat from shaytan, or shubahatu shaytaniya, when all of those doubts come from the angle of shaitan, so much so that even the Muslims, that they drink from the ideas of shaitan and his army. So now in the name of Islam, they attack Islam. In the name of Islam, like the Asha'ira, like the Maturidiyya, like the Rawafid, like the Khawarij, like the Qadariya, like the Murji'a, like the Jahmiya, like the Mu'tazila, and all of those other groups, the Turuq al-Sufiyya, whether it be Shadiliya or Qadariya or Naqshbandiya or Sahawardiya, or whether it be from the direction of Ikhwan al-Muslimin, Jamaat al-Tabligh, Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Daesh, whichever direction it comes from, this is Shaytan now using those people. Shaytan has taken control of them and taught them fundamentals. Some of them don't even know it's from Shaytan. This is why they will die for it. Right? Tablighis, Jamaat al-Tabligh, their followers, sometimes they will die for their cause because they are that much deceived. They will not leave it. They are so firm and sure that they are upon the haq, they will never leave what they are upon. This is how staunch they are, because Shaytan has deceived them, just like he has deceived the Yahud and the Nasara, just as he has deceived the Mushrikeen from the Buddhists, from the Hindus and Sikhs and so on. And even amongst the Muslims, Shaytan deceives them. He does not deceive them to take them outside of Islam, even though that is what he wants, like he did with the Rawafid, with the Rafida Shia. He deceived them and deceived them till they left Islam. The Khawarij, he deceived them and deceived them till the extreme of them, they left Islam. So, Shaitan, this is what he wants ultimately, but he will use, even if a person is upon the deen, like Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions, Shaitan will look at a person and he will see that he loves the religion and he wants to practice the religion. So what does Shaitan say? Shaitan will say, you're not doing enough, do more, do more, do more, up until he becomes an extremist and he becomes like the Khawarij, Daesh and those people. If he sees a person, he's weak in his religion, he will say, sleep, ya akhi, don't worry, sleep, pray when you wake up. Dars, don't worry about the beard, don't worry about the beard. Hijab, sister, you don't. So the shaitan, when he sees the strength, he doesn't want the strong person to become weak. He wants the strong person to become stronger and stronger, up until he thinks he's better than everybody else. And then what does he do? Just like Daesh. Now, Daesh think that they are the chosen people. Everybody else, they look down and say, Antum kuffar, murtaddun, you're munafiq, you're zindiq, you're... This is the way of ISIS, right? This is why ISIS, everyone, if you're not with ISIS, you're a kafir. Khalas, there's no second speech with them. So, how did Shaitan deceive them? Just like Shaitan deceived the Khawarij in the time of Ali. You are better than the people. So he said to them, you're better than Ali. What does Ali know? Do more, do more. So that's when Abdullah ibn Abbas, he walked into the camp of the Khawarij, the encampment of the Khawarij. What could he hear? He said, I could hear the humming of bees. Because all of them were making dhikr. And they had marks on their heads and their eyes were sunken back. They had calluses upon their knees like the calluses on the knees of camels because of their prostration and sujood and so on. Why? Because Shaitan didn't tell them, stop practicing. Shaitan told them, do more and more and more, up until they believed they were better than the Sahaba. Then the weak ones, he knows that he can't push them in the direction of the Khawarij. Right? So what does he do? Make them do less, do less, do less, up until they don't practice at all. Salah gone, deen gone, everything gone, murji'ah, from the direction of the murji'ah. So the Khawarij, the shaitan will push the people. Ahlul Sunnah come in between. So all of these groups that you find, in the name of Islam, they will attack the Sunnah. So the Khawarij, in the name of Islam, they attack the Sunnah. The murji'ah, in the name of Islam, they attack the Sunnah. The Sufi, Qaburis, the grave worshippers, they attack the Sunnah in the name of Islam. It is Islam that they are using. So when you don't go to the grave of the Prophet ﷺ and make dua, Ya Rasulullah, please help me. They say, look, you don't love the Prophet. If you love the Prophet, make shafa'ah through the Prophet. See, this is the mentality of those people. Because they think what they're doing is right. In the name of Islam, they will say you are upon bid'ah. That's why the Sufis, you know what they say about the Salafis? You're mubtadi'ah, ahlul bid'ah. They've written articles, don't sit with the Salafiyun, because the Salafiyun are ahlul bid'ah. And the Salaf used to say, don't sit with ahlul bid'ah. They use our hadith against us. They use our Salaf against us. And they are the ones who are grave worshipping. They are the ones who are calling upon the dead in the grave. They are the ones who are tying the amulets around their necks. They are the ones who are making takfir of the rulers. Yet they say, don't go to the Salafi scholars. Don't listen to Sheikh Ibn Baz. Don't listen to Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. Don't listen to Sheikh Muqbil. Don't listen to Sheikh Rabi'ah. Don't listen to Sheikh Al-Fawzan. Don't listen to Sheikh Ubaid. Why? Because these are the ulama. They are upon bid'ah. This is the idea of Ahlul, those Ikhwan, those Hizbiyun, and so on. So the Jama'ah, my brothers and sisters, is not with any of those groups. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبَلْ فَاتَّفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. This is my straight path, so follow it, sabil. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا. He mentioned it in the singular, one sirat. Stick to it, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. So follow it, cling to it, and do not follow the subul. Meaning, don't follow those other groups. Don't follow these other jam'iyat that you have with you in Maldives, who call to bid'ah and they call to mudaharat, marching in the streets and demonstrating in the streets. They show you pictures of what's happening in other countries, right? Dead children. This is the way of the Hizbiyin, right? The Hizbiyin, to make you follow them. They say, Ya Akhi, what is your sheikh talking about in the masjid? They say, Tawheed. Aqidatul Wasitiyah, Kitabul Tawheed. Say, Kitabul Tawheed, look at this baby, he's dying. They killed him, and they killed his mother, and they killed his children, and they blew up the house. And you're sitting in the masjid talking about Tawheed? This is how they come. Is that all you're going to do? You're not going to do anything more? Bas, Rasulul Salat, Kitab al-Tawheed? You're going to sit in the masjid banging your head and whilst the people are dying? This is how they convince the people with emotion. What, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family wasn't harmed? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself wasn't harmed? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, they weren't harmed? What happened to Sumayya? What happened to Bilal radiallahu anhu? What happened to Ammar ibn Yasir? What happened to those Sahaba radiallahu anhum? What happened to Khabbab ibn Arat? When they were tortured and beaten and some of them were killed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was strangled. He's in sajda and they take the rotten entrails of a camel and they throw it on his back, rotten for days, onto the back of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ is in prayer and someone comes behind him and strangles him with a cloth. What? This never happened to the Prophet ﷺ? Did everyone now say, Khalas, we have to kill them, we have to kill this one, kill that one, kill that one, take the assassination? Never. 13 years. Worse than that. The Prophet ﷺ had to see the idols being worshipped in front of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day he had to see it with his own eyes. He had to see them making tawaf around the Kaaba naked. Why? Because the mushrikeen had a rule that unless you come to Hajj and Umrah, because they used to make Hajj and Umrah before the Prophet ﷺ, from the Sunnah of Ibrahim. So they used to make Hajj and Umrah, and the Quraysh, they used to say, if you do not buy your cloth from the people within the hill, within the haram, then you can't make tawaf in your clothes from outside of the haram. This was a business trick of this. They want to increase the wealth of the mushrikeen in Mecca. So they said, if you come from outside, you have to take off all of those clothes and put on the ihram that you buy from inside of the haram area in Mecca. So many of those people, they can't afford it. So what do we do if you can't afford it? They said, khalas, you have to make tawaf naked. The women, they said, and the women, except the women, she's allowed to wear one thin garment that she just covers her shoulder and she tries to hide inside it, which she can't. So they make tawaf naked. Prophet ﷺ, this is happening in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. For 13 years in front of his eyes, these people are doing this. And they are worshipping Hubal and they are worshipping, you know, the various idols, Al-Uzza, Al-Manat and whatever, worshipping these idols around the Kaaba. And the Prophet ﷺ, he's watching this. He's has to, you know, because he's praying near the Kaaba himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. And these kind of things, these munkarat are taking place in front of him. So what's happening today that is worse than that? Is there anyone who was harmed more than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is there anyone who suffered more than the Sahaba they suffered when they were removed, when they were exiled from their homes, expelled from their homes, and they had to walk all the way to Medina, and then they tried to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to kill him and to kill Abu Bakr? Who suffered more than them? 70 of them died at Uhud. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was struck in the head. 10 Sahaba tried to protect him. All 10 were killed. They surrounded the Prophet ﷺ at Uhud. So Anas bin Nadr, he called the rest of the Sahaba, defend the Prophet ﷺ. 10 of them around the Prophet ﷺ, and those mushrikeen killed every last one of them. Then some more came to defend the Prophet ﷺ, and they struck the Prophet ﷺ and broke his molar tooth, or his incisor. He didn't suffer. Yet the Prophet ﷺ still stayed focused. Deen, Sunnah, Wahi, Tawheed, sending letters, calling the people to the Deen, calling the people to Tawheed. Don't be fooled, Ya Ikhwan. Stick to the Jama'ah. The Jama'ah in our times, Al-Fawzan, Al-Luhaydan, the Mufti Abdul Aziz, Sheikh Rabi'ah, Sheikh Ubaid, Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, and some of the other ulama that you know of in this land. I don't want to go through the whole list. And other than them, from the ulama of this land, they are the Jama'ah. Anyone who speaks against Sheikh Ubaid, then be wary of them. Anyone who speaks against Sheikh Ubaid, then Sheikh Rabi'ah, then be wary of them. Anyone who speaks against Sheikh Al-Fawzan, or Sheikh Al-Luhaydan, or Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hadi, or Sheikh Abdullah bin Abdul Rahim Al-Bukhari. Yes, Sheikh Abdullah bin Abdul Rahim Al-Bukhari is an alim of the Sunnah in Medina. And you find people now attacking these mashayikh, making attack in the name of Salafiyah even. They make ta'an in Sheikh Rabi'. They belittle Sheikh Rabi', or they belittle Sheikh Ubaid, or they belittle Sheikh Muhammad, or Sheikh Al-Fawzan, or Sheikh Abdullah bin Abdul Rahim Al-Bukhari. This is the jama'ahs, as we mentioned right from the very beginning, the statement of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. So don't differ amongst yourselves. Be united. Know your ulama. Keep the love and muhabba between you. وَاَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ And hold on to the rope of Allah. And do not divide. Overlook each other. Forgive each other. Trust each other. Obey each other in terms of that which is in accordance with the Kitab and the Sunnah. Barakallahu feekum. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. There's anything that I missed, or any questions or something you want, no problem, inshallah, if I'm able. But you have, alhamdulillah, with you our brother Abu Anas, Hafidhullah. And you have, alhamdulillah, more and more of your students are graduating, and they are in the Jamia Islamiyah, in the Islamic University. But I would always advise that the young ones who are coming to the stage of graduation, or they are studying, that they look towards their elders. The certificate on its own is nothing, wallahi. If you leave the Jamia, or if you leave any institution anywhere in the world with a certificate, it is nothing on its own. Unless a person is upon istiqama and he is following steadfastly the Kitab and the Sunnah. Certificate, the paper doesn't mean anything on its own. How many graduates? Safar al-Hawali graduate, professor in Aqeedah, Mubtadi, innovator. Yusuf al-Qardawi, professor, innovator. So the certificate is not enough. And Sheikh al-Albani, no certificate. And an Imam of the Sunnah. Unequaled in this time in the science of hadith. Sheikh al-Albani, no certificate, nothing. Watchmaker or watch repairer. Right? Certificate doesn't mean on its own is nothing. But with istiqamah, then yes, you have something. Alhamdulillah, alhamd. Like Sheikh Rabi, like Sheikh Muqbil, they graduated, alhamdulillah. So you have to be careful that a person is not deceived by just thinking, well, I did some studies and khalas. No. It requires that you study, and that you finish your studies, and that you are with the scholars, and that the scholars know you, and you don't take knowledge except from those who are known to Ahlul Ilm. Right? We don't take knowledge from anybody. We take knowledge from those who are known. That's what Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi said yesterday. If you recall, Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi in his masjid, he said, go and visit and travel to the scholars and seek knowledge from them. And likewise, seek knowledge from those who have traveled in your lands and they have studied. Take knowledge from them so long as they are known to Ahlul Ilm. If they are known to the scholars, study with them. So, alhamdulillah, you have your brothers in Maldives that you can sit with and you can study with, inshaAllah. Barakallahu feekum.